I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food, and it is a lovely March 5th, 2013, and you know what, it's a Tuesday, but you know what, we're not going to talk about Tuesdays today, we're going to talk about Monday, so good to me. We're talking about Mondays and the Monday campaigns and Meatless Monday, and I'm going to bring on my first guest, Sid Lerner, the founder and chairman of the Monday campaigns with national health behavior initiatives such as Meatless Monday, Healthy Monday, and Caregivers Monday in association with John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health, and Syracuse University Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs. He's a member of the Board of Advisors of the Mailman School and has been a guest lecturer at the Bloomberg School and founded the Lerner Center for Public Health Promotion at Maxwell, and it goes on and on. He's an author and a very creative guy. Please welcome Sid Lerner to It's All About Food. Hi, Sid.
Hi, glad to be here.
You know, I'm just looking over your bio, and you are one Renaissance guy. It's like there's nothing you haven't done.
Well, you hang around for 82 years, you get to do a lot of things.
Oh, bless you. I know a lot of 82-year-olds that can't hold a candle, unfortunately, and I think it has something to do with what they eat.
Well, 10 years ago, I sort of got into a better mode of eating, and we started the Meatless Monday idea at Johns Hopkins, and that was one of the triggers of doing it. It was we were told we're eating too much meat and too much fat in the diet, and I just got put on Lipitor.
Who told you you were eating too much meat?
My wife and everybody else.
Oh. Okay.
And anyway, the USDA, the FDA, and the others really did. In various national surveys on American health is that we're about 15% over on what we ought to be eating of this fat-heavy diet, which led to heart disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes. And so how do you cut down 15%? You can't watch every plate, and it occurred that 15% of 21 meals is three meals, and that's like one day's worth. So make it simple, just one day a week, knock off the fat and the meat in the diet, and you sort of make a dent in it, as you should. The easy way, just one day a week, try to catch up on other good things that aren't meat in the middle of the plate.
Right.
So that was the beginning of Meatless Monday.
It's a really great idea because, now I'm a vegan, and I promote an all plant-based diet, but I encourage people to reduce the animal products in their diet. With so many people, when you say that to them, you get that deer in the headlights look. They don't even know what they're eating, and they can't imagine not eating meat. Can't imagine it. And, the idea of starting on Monday with being meatless is a great way to open the door and make people realize that there's a lot of wonderful food out there that's good for us that doesn't have to come from an animal.
Yeah, I must say, minds weren't quite that open as you just spoke it 10 years ago, frankly.
Yeah.
A little more resistance then, but now it's unbelievable the degree to which organizations are, I guess the larger bodies called flexitarians, people who are more open to adding non-meat dishes to the diet. So it's either a vegetarian who has meat sometime or a meatitarian that is open his mind to non-meat dishes here and there. So the country's really changing. See, incremental changes happening, even the chains that people are cutting down on burgers and meat buying, and our research is showing that, it's starting to take hold because of the economy, because of more and more medical information coming in that tying heavy meat diet to various serious chronic diseases. So I think it's been a long time in coming, but boy, it's starting to rain now. It's not just a drizzle of converts.
It really is exciting. Now, you got this idea, Meatless Mondays, from post-war or World War II propaganda material and things that the country was going through at that time?
Yeah, I was a Boy Scout in World War II, and one of the things President Roosevelt did to help us conserve meat for the troops, and he dug up an old thing from World War I called Meatless Monday that Herbert Hoover suggested to the president in 1918, and they came up with Meatless Monday, Wheatless Wednesday. It was sort of an interesting idea of how to conserve those hard-to-get items then. Roosevelt dug it up in World War II. Then Harry Truman, in the post-war years, to help feed Europe, initiated Meatless Monday again And so I remembered it from way back, and I said, that's a great name for what we're doing. And we dusted it off and repurposed it. So
right. This
Monday now is the day that you cut back on meat for your health and the health of the planet.
Well, we have more and more information from scientific studies that are showing the importance of reducing meat in the diet. But I think even back then when these different campaigns to save meat for the soldiers showed that those that were reducing their meat content were actually getting healthier. Even back then, we saw the results.
Yeah, that's true. People backed into some good habits for unusual reasons. And,
right.
And we repurposed them.
Yeah. Now, I met you recently at the James Beard Foundation. We were both at the Winona Howder book signing for her book, Foodopoly, which was a really interesting event. And she talks about so many things that are wrong with our food system today. And I wanted to talk about one section of that. I see there's like three things going on. One is things with our individual lifestyles, culture, etc. Then there's the government regulating different things and making some foods more affordable, some less affordable, making some businesses easier than others. And then there's marketing that's really telling us what we're supposed to be doing. And I know that you have a lot of experience in that area, marketing and advertising. How much of that has an impact on what we're eating today?
Well, it has a huge, huge impact. As a matter of fact, I think we really could learn from it. It's like being, you know, you can't be crabby being a do-gooder and having the right information and the good things to do and just sit there smugly. It's like having two stores and one's having all the people run in and the other is not. Look what the other guy's doing to get them to come in. He's doing some smart merchandising, communication, motivating, and the people with the good stuff aren't quite utilizing the same tools to bring them in the store.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what the Monday campaigns is trying to do with Johns Hopkins and Syracuse and Columbia, is to start bringing more contemporary marketing, media, social networking procedures to sell the good stuff and help counteract the very sophisticated marketing tools that get us to line up for all those extra soft drinks and all those extra calories we consume during the day that we didn't 50 years ago, 60 years ago. When I was a kid, you had to walk blocks and blocks in a town like Englewood, where I grew up, to find a diner or a luncheonette, and now it's like three sushi bars and two McDonald's every acre. You know, just so much food. You have to really run the gauntlet. It's a major challenge to people's strength of character to just get through the day, not stopping along the way too many times.
Yeah, it really is too easy. I institute a number of things in my life that I think people would think are really nutty, but people have always thought I was nutty, so I'm kind of used to it. But we don't have a car, and we walk to the stores to get our food and carry the heavy bags back. And the few times that we do eat out, we tend to walk. And there's one restaurant that I like in particular that's not very close by, and it takes an hour to walk there. But I like the idea of walking, exercising, and then getting my treat, and then walking it off.
Well, that's a funny thing. Today we call that walk, and where you live, is a food desert. I think, you know, you keep reading this paper, somebody in Timbuktu gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning to walk 5 miles to get a jug of water for the house, and here we can't walk more than a quarter of a mile to buy some groceries. I don't know. Anyway, just food is much too available too many times in parts of the day. You know, you get two hamburgers or two Egg McMuffins for $3 in the morning. Then you get to the office and somebody bought a box of donuts, and then Josie's birthday cake leftovers. And at lunch you get two burgers for $6, and then you get a break in the afternoon. I mean, just stuff is there constantly, and it's in your face. So it's really a strain on our normally weak wills to not take part of it. So that's the tough part, is to get motivated to know the downsides of it and the upsides of alternatives.
Well, I really think that if we could invest enough to take over the media and the marketing and put out the right message instead of the wrong message, I think most people would go along.
Well, we think Meatless Monday is an example of something that's packaged in a way that's so simple, so, you know, reputable, something to do is one day a week knock off the meat. If we could package other behaviors, we have the Monday Mile just to get something started. That's not a be-all, end-all, but the idea of getting the week started with something, you know, on the good foot off is better than zero. So I think we just got to start doing a better job of reducing the positive things in, into more contemporary, acceptable ways.
So there's Meatless Monday, and I see you have a website, and you have all kinds of articles and tools and information, and you're working with schools, or there are some schools that specifically promote and support the Meatless Monday? How does that work?
Oh, gosh, we got hundreds of schools, universities, colleges, and campuses around the country. One just came on today in Washington. They just instituted the Meatless Monday counters one day a week. If you go to our website, you see the list of them. We also have, through a company like Sodexo, which feeds 6,300 cafeterias in the country every day, 900 hospitals, 2,000 corporations, and they do Meatless Mondays in their cafeterias.
So does that mean they offer meatless options, or are they completely meatless?
Oh, no, no. We are really not trying to get meat off the menu. We make it very clear to every institution and every school or restaurant we go to, we do not want to get meat off the menu. We just want to get alternatives on the menu. Sometimes you can't see anything that hasn't got meat or beef crumbles or something, not even the ice cream. So the concept with Meatless Monday is to just offer consumers visibly something on the menu that is not a meat product, that as an alternative you can try Monday, and hopefully, hey, if you dig it, try it Tuesday, Wednesday as well. So we do not try to do that because that just builds up needless resistance. We're about choice.
It's just an incredible thing how people want to keep their head in the sand and really want to resist things that are so good for them, and once they move over to that and realize it's not only good for them but tastes good, there's no downside, in my opinion, of eating more plant foods and less animal foods. And fortunately, like you said, people are becoming more receptive than they used to, but there's still plenty of people who are resisting.
Well, it's a funny thing that, it's the culture is really where and when you live. As I told you, I've got this great age number. I go back a couple of decades, and we didn't always eat like this. Most people we work with and see in the streets are in their 20s and 30s, and in their lifetime, that it's always been like this virtually. You know, the hamburger places started in 1953 with just one McDonald's, and by 1967, there were 20,000. Now there are 35,000 of them. So young people think it's always been like that, that every place you go, there is lots of food, and always people are always eating like that. Meat used to be a condiment, you know, the spaghetti and meatballs. It was Chinese, Japanese foods had a touch of meat, and it was a center of the plate, but it was a addition to other foods and vegetables, and our society just jumped to the fillet. The hamburger's there, the steak is there, the chops are there, and it's we always think this is the way people have eaten. I think it's a matter of reining back a little bit and showing that there are alternatives, options of foods we used to eat that we'd have to reexamine with better cooking technologies today. Oh, by the way, speaking of Winona Howder and her wonderful book, Foodopoly, we just got a notice that it's like number one and number two on Amazon's book list.
Oh, that's good news. I was just going to mention her book again, too, because as you were saying, we didn't always eat this much meat. She goes over the history, the contemporary history of how we got to where we are today, and it's really good to review that. You know, I lived through most of it, and it really was powerful to see how we let this happen where we are today. I really enjoyed reading that book. I'm glad other people are reading it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you also have a Kids Monday. How is that different from Meatless Mondays?
Well, that's great. This is a Kids Cook Monday. There's a group called CASA, Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse, that has research that shows that kids that eat with their families a couple of times a week are 40-50% less likely to be addictive personalities, abusive personalities, or obese. In fact, it's also a good socialization thing. So we foster the idea of having kids at least once a week have a help. Parents make the dinner meat, and as a way of communing with the parents, also seeing that meat food doesn't just come in a box with a toy. And I think there's more of that happening. Michelle Obama certainly has made it visible with the gardens on the White House lawn, and more schools. The Baltimore school system, Tony Gerassi did a wonderful job there. 70,000 school kids have Meatless Monday every Monday in Baltimore, and they have an acre 2-acre farm outside of town where kids go to see where they plant the vegetables and harvest them, and it winds up in their cafeterias. So the idea of seeing where food comes from, getting involved with the making of it, gets you more involved with liking things you never would have touched otherwise, and I think it's a good, healthy sign all around. We promote Kids Cook Monday just and have recipes for the kids, things that kids could do, and it's a big help to mother. We're trying to get into summer camps this year as a way of introducing it as an activity.
Oh, good. It's such a good idea all around. I'm always saying that people need to find their kitchen because so many of us have lost our knack for cooking or maybe never had it, and the kitchen doesn't seem to be a place that's really used for what it's supposed to be used for, which is preparing nourishing food. And I know a lot of parents are somewhat hesitant to prepare food with their children because they have very little time and it seems like so much trouble, but I think the benefits really outweigh the downsides of it.
Well, it's good economics too these days.
Yeah.
Try that. By the way, it's a website of its own, the kidscookmonday.org, as well as meatlessmonday.org, or you could go and get the stuff with recipes and other wonderful hints and helpers and tips.
Kids Cook Monday, that's good. Now, you mentioned there are different schools and organizations that have signed up for Meatless Monday. Are there any places that haven't caught on? Is this campaign appealing to all demographics around the country? You know, we talk sometimes about how privileged some of us are to be able to choose what we eat, and then there are some areas where people are just getting by and getting whatever they can. So I'm just wondering, is this something that appeals to a certain demographic?
Well, certainly. Let me just say, I think the terrible irony is that for the first time in the history of the man on the planet, the more people are dying from eating too much than starvation. The chronic diseases, heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, these are a direct result of behavior at the table, of eating too much of the raw stuff and not doing enough the vigorous exercise it takes to balance things out. So you got half the world starving, the other half overeating, and so we have to level the field. But there are, every town we go to, there's a great enthusiasm now for bringing it on, but there, of course, there are the same people, it's like the NRA, it's the rifles. You have people who are resistant for their right to have a chop in one hand, a steak in the other hand, every minute of the day, who do look at an imposition on their civil rights or something. So there is some pushback in areas where people think they're being told what to do, like the people who are against the soda limitations and every other, you know, they forget that cars have speed limits and have safety rules and regulations and liquor laws and all that. Food has been such a scarce commodity over most of our lifetimes that people aren't used to the idea of curtailing some parts of it, and I think you're going to see a little more of that in the future.
Well, you know, that's where advertising comes in again, because a lot of these people that you're talking about who don't want us to regulate our food, they want to know that they have free choice. They don't realize that they're being so manipulated by advertising that they don't have the free choice that they think they do.
Well, some of that, but you know, we forget, one of the good things about being old, you get to see a wider range of history firsthand. People forget that advertising and promotion were responsible for some of the things we do every day that are healthy as hell and we take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
The bath used to be like hardly ever take a bath, or maybe the cowboys would come into town on Saturday night and go to the bathhouse before church the next day or something, but it was Lifebuoy soap that created the villain, body odor. Don't have B.O. and made the public so conscious of body odor, B.O., the villainous thing, that everybody was soon in the shower daily or in tubs and all that. Similarly, brushing your teeth was not exactly the thing people did. It was not having bad breath, halitosis. It was branding and advertising that identified a villainous thing among us that people finally did something about it in a big way. So the brushing the teeth and taking a bath are two very positive social hygienic things, and that came from advertising. It's the trick is to how do we put those same clever marketing forces against some of the other things we should do about exercising and driving and drinking and texting. And that's a challenge, I think, to a lot of young people looking to go into some fields is to, you know, consider health marketing.
Yeah, it is so advertising is so powerful and can be used to really good ends.
Well, in today's media, talk about the naggability. You could come at more people more ways now than ever before in the world without buying a network buy at billions of dollars to hit a small percentage of the country. You could do something that comes up on everybody's cell phone or mobile device or, you know, it's just remarkable how frequently and locally you can reach the public today if the message is right, simple, and persuasive.
Right. Well, I think that's why the Meatless Monday concept and a lot of other organizations that are promoting healthier diets are having more success because of the power of social networking. It's a lot easier or a lot more cost-effective to get the message out. And for those people that are looking, the information's easier to find. I mean, I remember 20, 30 years ago looking for information, and it was really an effort.
Yeah, I think we're really at a real major revolutionary point with the media change going from the old media print and to online. It's just such a new challenge and an opportunity for, it's like a gold rush. Everybody could go out and stake a claim now. Everything's all tied down by ABC, CBS, or NBC like that. Anybody could be a star now if the idea is right and you've got the good message and you're doing it well.
So the Monday campaign, the Meatless Monday, is growing, and more people are signing on, celebrities and regular people. And what I mentioned before, this three-tiered concept of how we're going to improve our health, marketing, and individuals, and the third piece of that is government. And I know that the USDA kind of flubbed up last year a bit, saying something that they didn't mean to say.
I was a little embarrassed for them, I'm afraid. A couple
really?
Of Senate, one guy got on the Senate floor for 4.5 minutes haranguing the USDA for doing Meatless Monday.
Yeah, so let's back up a little bit because I'm sure not everybody knows about it. But at some point, the USDA was going to endorse.
As I said, through Sodexo and other wonderful food providers or companies that are having in their cafeterias, taking on Meatless Monday as an idea. And some wonderful in-house news writer at the USDA was writing in their weekly issue or something that it was so nice their cafeteria was going to take on Meatless Monday in the following week. And I guess it leaked out to some political individual and said, my God, we're part of the USDA. What are they doing, telling people not to eat our meat? And they just went off with about 8 senators from meat-growing states, and they really had a rant going for a week or so about...
Yeah, well, it was really unfortunate. And a lot of people had a good time blogging about it and writing articles about it. And I like to say a lot, don't read your press, weigh it. And that probably brought a lot more attention to Meatless Mondays.
Well, that'll happen, so you have to be careful what you say. It's a knife that cuts both ways.
Right. You have a quote here on the website when it talks, you have a recent post about chili. Did you really say if you think chili needs meat, you don't know beans?
That's one of our lines we've been using for beating the heck out of over. If you think chili needs meat, you don't know beans.
And did you come up with that?
I have to admit to, yeah. Fred, but basically, it's a great idea. There's so many ways to make chili, and meat is not necessarily a part of it. It's a wonderful source of protein. It can be inexpensive. It can be tasty. It can be sexy. It can be smoky. And so we have a cookbook that's available free online called the Chili Cookbook, and it's 10 great chili recipes you could download and get the next 10 Mondays taken care of. We also have another cookbook called Monday Burgers, which we renamed Hamburgers Without Meat, and as a cookbook we have the Get Monday Burgers, one day a week, get the beef off your buns.
Well, that's also Monday has certainly benefited by having you at the reins.
Oh, well, we got a whole bunch of funny people here. We got Mark Driscoll next door. We got Vanessa Protus getting the stuff all over the world on emails and Facebook and Twitters and tweets and things I can't even pronounce. But a bunch of great young kids here who are into new media and are just getting it out all over the place. It's really been terrific.
So now, Meatless Monday isn't global.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at a chart. It says Meatless Monday goes global. We're now in 22 countries and counting. I just did an email last night commending somebody in Australia for their meat-free Monday there and said they'd keep it up. And the next thing, they came back this morning on our Facebook saying, thank you very much, good day. And Israel just took on a new group out of Tel Aviv doing Meatless Monday there. We're in the Philippines. And as I said, 22 countries are coming on. Keep doing their own way. A lot of them. Paul McCartney helped start through Europe. He did Meat Free Monday in the UK.
It's always good to have him on your team.
Oh, boy. Is there a big guy to have? And he's got a wonderful cookbook out from his group called Meat Free Monday Cookbooks. That's got an award recently. So we commend that to you. And people who know people in other countries, get them doing it. We haven't contacted these people. They've just got it offline from having seen ours and things that look like ours, and it's really growing like crazy.
Well, that's nice, especially because many developing nations learn a lot of our bad habits, and I would like to think if there's a country that's leading the way and has learned some mistakes, that the other countries that are coming up to speed will skip over all the bad moves. And unfortunately, we don't see that per se. We see people in India and China that are becoming more affluent, they're including more animal products in their diet, and diabetes is up, and heart disease, and places that we never saw before.
Well, we've got this great president, Peggy New. She came aboard about 5 years ago, and things really livened up, and she's speaking pretty soon at a joint American-Chinese group on nutrition and things that where women can get behind better habits, and we're using us on the panel as an example. So Peggy's going to be doing that, as well as speaking up a storm around the country to other organizations. So really getting the message out. More people are inviting us to talk to them, and we've got more people here on staff and at our sister schools at Columbia, Syracuse, and Johns Hopkins, all pushing together. So it's really a big rolling stone.
Well, that's really good to hear. I think some of the basic things that countries can do is stick to their culture. Foods and more have taken on this god-awful standard American diet. So I'm glad to hear that some people are connecting with you and your great message. Well, I want to thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. I've enjoyed hearing a little bit more about Meatless Mondays, and here's to every Monday being meatless, and, add more to that, and I'll be even happier.
And thanks so much for the airtime. It's really been terrific.
Okay. You take care. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food. And we're going to take a little break. But before we do, I wanted to remind you that my website is responsibleeatingandliving.com. Lots of great recipes there, all meatless, of course. In fact, they're all plant-based vegan recipes. Delicious. And send me a message, info@realmeals.org, with your comments, questions, anything. info@realmeals.org. Okay, let's take a break.